don't want to go to this talent show. Let me tell you, do not want to go.
That should be the new name of our podcast. Do not want to go to Atlantic City. Howdy, it's still Wednesday, June 12th, 2024, and this is episode 231 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City and Blackhawk, Colorado podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined as always by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Same as it was an hour ago. Actually, I'm on the edge of my seat because you've promised me a scintillating always, once, never.
Oh, yes. Indeed. The one to end all always, once, nevers. And I think that this is the time to break it out.
Just a podcast killer. The end of the podcast entirely.
Yeah. So, just to be clear, before we get to that, there is indeed nothing new good. Your life is the same as it was an hour ago.
I mean, I'm happy that we have one episode in the tank ready to be edited. Yes. That's good.
Yeah. All right. So, my super secret always, once, never that I've been sitting on forever are always, once, never gambling vacation destinations. Las Vegas Strip, Atlantic City, and everywhere else.
I like it. It's a good one. I've sort of thought about trying to do this with Atlantic City, Vegas, whatever, or like Blackhawk, but I haven't been to that many places, so I like your way of doing it. Atlantic City.
Las Vegas Strip.
Las Vegas Strip specifically.
Strip only. Yeah. And everywhere else. For one of these trips, you can go to one of these places, and then every other trip has to be to, you know, whatever you choose.
And then I can never go.
Yep, never again to what you throw in the ocean or to your once more. Beyond the once more.
This is some serious, like, truth serum stuff for an Atlantic City podcast.
Well, we'll get to it. I have some truth serum questions for you, like, a little later that came up on my trip to Blackhawk.
How much do we consider convenience here?
It's your gambling vacations. You need to decide how important it is to you.
Right. So, like, I'm not teleporting to these places.
Mm-hmm.
If I choose Vegas, it means I'm probably only getting to Vegas once a year, maybe if I'm lucky twice a year. Whereas, like, yep. If I choose Atlantic City, I can go 3, 4, 5 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. I mean, there's so many non-AC, non-Vegas gambling destinations I want to go to.
So many, including Blackhawk, but yeah, Reno we've talked about.
I've got a question in the agenda about that, following up on your Blackhawk trip. But, man, oh, I'm assuming you want me to go first here since you're pitching the question.
Yes. I have strong feelings myself, but I would like you to go first.
Here's the thing that I've been thinking about, and my brother would call me out on this if I didn't say it right at the front, which is that I'm enjoying the gambling less and less.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a thought here of which of these options makes the most sense for all the other non-gambling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the knee-jerk reaction to that is like, well, go a bunch of other places that are gambling destinations. But if that's true, why would I go to, you know, Connecticut casinos or like Blackhawk or any of these other places?
I mean, yeah, here's the thing. Like in Reno or Blackhawk or Connecticut, like what is there to do other than gamble?
I mean, there's literally nothing to do in Connecticut other than gamble or drive through and sit in traffic on your way to Massachusetts. So sorry to all our Connecticut listeners. Certainly not eat pizza. Because it's not the pizza capital of the world, as they claim.
Yeah.
Anyways, I've actually never had Connecticut pizza. It's probably great.
New Haven or whatever? Isn't that famous for pizza?
Yeah, I think so. Didn't they also invent the hamburger around there? I don't know.
I don't know. I thought that was Germany. It was promised that it was Hamburg, but...
No, wrong. So...
All right.
oh, man, this is so hard. I've thought about this so much, too. Like, just hypotheticals running through my mind. Like, this is how I live my life. Certainly after the Las Vegas trip... Sort of this idea of, would I trade basically all my Atlantic City trips to know that I could go to Vegas once a year? And I think it sounds enticing, but in reality, like, I feel like I loved the last AC trip more than I loved the Las Vegas trip.
Yeah.
The one confound here is, I think if I was going to Vegas more often, I would find Vegas more enjoyable because I would feel like I could go do things off the beaten path more and not worry about, like, missing out. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I have to go to whatever casino because it's my favorite. Like, no, you can skip that one trip.
But remember, the confines of this question are, you know, there is nothing really off the beaten path in Vegas because we're talking about the Strip.
Oh, yeah, it's Strip only. Ooh. There's also sort of a weird thing here of selecting Vegas. I'm really trying to talk myself into Vegas here. selecting Vegas means I probably go to Vegas once a year. and freeze up all these AC weekends for, you know, actual family time. Which is a positive or a negative, depending on how you're
looking. Freeze up or forces you to.
But no, I think logistically, the idea that I could do a one-night AC trip and it doesn't really take a vacation weekend away, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's such an advantage. And like I said, I've absolutely loved our last couple AC trips. I feel like all the non-gambling stuff is really enjoyable. I don't feel like I've tapped it out in any sense. And the travel to Vegas is such a deterrent for me. I guess, again, if I knew I was going once a year or more, it would be less of a deterrent because it would be sort of like the trip rather than a trip among all these other casino trips. I mean, I think never is definitely the everything else.
Okay.
I have ideas in my head of like, I'd love to go to Blackhawk. I'd love to go to Reno Tahoe. But in practice, I haven't done it. So, And like, how do you say once for everywhere else? Like, is there a clear once for me?
Yeah, there would have to be, yeah, somewhere specific, I guess, in mind if you're going to go once with everywhere else. I think I know where that once more would be. The Horseshoe Baltimore.
Oh, crap. I'm using my once more on Friday night. Oh, though, think about how upsetting it would be. Either, though, either. AC or Vegas. Like, leaving that once more trip in either AC or Vegas and being like, can never come back here. I mean, I guess I could go downtown and go to all the Arizona Charlies or Terribles or whatever.
Yeah, you
could. Samstown.
Yep.
I'm like really stressing about this, like I'm going to be held to this.
Yeah, no, this is real life. You have to decide right now.
No, I think you may hit me with some truth serum here, but I think I'm going always Atlantic City because I do love it. I still love my Jersey Shore, everything. Once Vegas, and I would just cry a lot afterwards, and then never for everywhere else, any other gambling destination.
That's very interesting. That's not what I was expecting. So I had a sequence of questions lined up, and well, I'll talk a little bit about my answer, but it was for a different configuration. So I think for me, and this is like one that I had had this question for a while, but it sort of became clearer to me while I was out in Blackhawk, which we'll get to, of like, I had a really fantastic time there. And to me, like the other trip that stands out in my mind more than any other in the last 15 years is when I went to Macau, which was another like super cool destination or whatever. So for me, like what I was feeling pretty confident about, I'm still fairly confident about, is always everywhere else. Once more, Atlantic City, and absolutely fuck the Las Vegas Strip. Like that was a no-brainer, like straight into the ocean.
Wow. It's interesting. I think that makes a lot of sense for you personality-wise and like how you, you know, you like to explore. I'm very sort of latch onto a place and like to do it. Like we go to Ocean City every year. We've been going to Hershey multiple times, you know. And sort of like I fall in love with a place and I don't mind doing it over and over again, whereas I think you are much more of an explorer.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably true to some point.
Yeah, so I think that makes a ton of sense for you. Part of that is like we've talked about me being like a very stressed out traveler.
Right.
So like going to all these unknown places, there is a level of stress. It would be sad to be like, okay, well, I can't now go to the Connecticut casinos or like Biloxi or any of these places, right? Macau, and not that I'll ever go to Macau, but
no. I think also for me, like, because I'm a bit more of a gambler than you, like, it would make me a lot more sad if I'm just, like, in some random place and there's a casino there and I'm like, oh, I can't go to that because it was my never.
No, that wouldn't bother me at all.
But it wouldn't bother you at all, yeah.
So were you thinking I was going to say the Strip always?
So, well, we could keep pushing it in the same way because you did pick something above the Strip. The next level is going to be, what would it be if it was everywhere else, Atlantic City, or all of Las Vegas? So you would get downtown thrown into Las Vegas as well?
I don't think it would change that much for
me. It wouldn't change anything for you, though, right?
No, okay. I think it would change more for you, right?
I would still throw Las Vegas into the ocean, but I would be sadder about it, I think. Because, you know, we've talked about it, and after my last trip to Vegas, I said, like, I really need to spend a lot more time downtown and not that much time on the Strip, because the Strip is not something that I love. It's just way too many people, way too much stuff, way too expensive.
You know, in my head, I'm like, well, I could go downtown, and there's a lot of great stuff downtown, but I think if I was in Vegas... Sort of like for you, if you're in a town that has a casino and you can't go into the casino, you'd be bummed out because it was your never. I think if I was in downtown Vegas and I had already used my once more and I was like, I can't go to the Strip. Are you serious? Like, I can't go. I would be.
Yeah, you'd be the saddest.
That would be really tough.
All right. And then the third level of the question was going to be, or it still could be, and we'll see if this changes anything for you. The state of New Jersey, the state of Nevada, and then everywhere else. So that you would add in Reno, you'd add in Tahoe, you'd add in Wendover, you'd add in Laughlin, you'd add in, I guess those are the big gambling cities outside of Las Vegas and Nevada.
Yeah, I mean, you'd get nothing extra in New Jersey.
You get nothing. Yeah, yeah, just Atlantic City. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, when the North Jersey casinos open, you know, you'll get that.
That's interesting because it then pushes Nevada way closer to the everywhere else, right? Because then you've got, like, Reno, Tahoe, we've talked about. I don't see any huge reason to go to, like, Laughlin or, you know, Prim or whatever. But there are a whole lot of casino options there. And there's a whole lot of sightseeing sort of stuff, right? Like, there's a whole lot of ways to tack it on where it's more like what you're talking about with the everywhere else, where you are, like, going to do something, but then you're also close to a casino.
Oh, well, and to be clear, like, this Black Hawk trip was not really that. I was going for on a casino trip, but then I tacked on a bunch of other stuff.
Right. No, I don't think that changes for me either. I'm happy with my Atlantic City always decision.
Nevada once more, everywhere else still never.
How sad are you after that last AC trip, though? It'd be tough.
Oh, I would be so sad. Yeah, no, I would be very, very sad. I think for me, by the way, it becomes much more interesting if it's all of Nevada, because I really want to go to Reno. You know, I think it'd be cool to see Wendover. But Reno and Tahoe are, like, the one that I'd really, really like to do, and I'd be sad if I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I would still probably say once more for AC, though, but it would make me sad. More so than losing this trip, which I don't really care about that much. And I would like to stay downtown as well. Like, that's something else I've never done, and I would like to do it.
Agreed. We should do all these things in a hypothetical future that will never happen.
We should do Reno Tahoe, and we should do downtown Vegas.
In the same trip. They're actually not close to each other at all.
No, they're not close at all. It's like Los Angeles and San Francisco. Yeah. It's just not close.
I don't think it's quite that far, but yeah, it's far. All right. That was a very good one that you've been saving forever.
Yeah.
That is nuked, always, once, never. You'll never hear another. And the whole podcast, I think. No, I think I saved it by saying Atlantic City.
Just looking on the map, it looks like Reno and Vegas are farther apart than San Francisco and Los Angeles. But it's like Reno to Vegas looks like San Francisco to San Diego, maybe.
Oh, crazy.
It looks like about the same. It's like the exact same configuration. So I think it's like
diagonally in the bottom corner, Vegas.
Diagonal, yeah. Reno's northwest of Vegas, just like San Francisco's northwest of LA and San Diego.
Well, that was an excellent one.
Yeah.
We may or may not have an always, once, never next episode. We'll see. You'll find out in a month. Well, 2 weeks from when this comes out.
I'll tell you, we do have one because Craig has written a good one that he thought he was going to have to use for this episode.
I did.
I came through.
You did come through. Good work.
The next one will be good.
All right. So now it's my turn to shut up for the entire rest of the episode, and you can talk about Black Hawk, Colorado.
I have some associated questions for you. Maybe we'll run through the trip first, and then I'll ask you kind of my questions afterwards, and you can ask me your questions.
You have associated questions about Always Once Never or about Black Hawk?
Kind of about the Always Once Never, but let's go through Black Hawk, and then I'll ask you my questions. So, yeah, I went to Black Hawk last week. I got in on Wednesday, flew nonstop from DCA to Denver on a nice, very cheap Frontier flight, going out of the terrible Terminal 1 in DCA, which I'd never been in before, but it's not a great experience. But beyond that, everything was fine.
I liked the picture of the vintage airlines.
Yeah, that was great. That's on the walkway to Terminal 1 in Reagan. So anyway, I landed in Denver. It was super easy to get my car because I have President Circle from Hertz from having the Capital One card. I think if you can get that, it is just so much nicer than any other rental car experience because you don't actually have to talk to anyone. You just go pick a car out, the keys are in it, and you drive away more or less.
I'll get to do that in Wisconsin in a week and a half.
So it's about a little bit more than an hour. It was probably a little bit longer than that, given that there was some traffic to get from the Denver airport to Black Hawk. So I made it to Black Hawk probably around 4 or 5 o'clock. My plan for the first night was I was going to hike up the local mountain in town, but there was some bike race apparently happening there. So it was more or less closed, or at least I would have to park very far away and walk up there. So I didn't do it. What I ended up doing instead is I stopped and ate at a local coffee shop called The Bean and Cream, which was very good. Had a spicy horseradish roast beef sandwich, panini. And then I just went back and checked into the Horseshoe and walked around the town and kind of poked my head in basically, if not every, at least the vast majority of the casinos in town. And I have to say, I was texting you a bunch during this, and my vibe, which I said to you in a text message, was this is like very, very much feels like very old school Las Vegas or maybe Deadwood, South Dakota or something like that, right? This western, small western town, just tons of very tiny casinos.
So a lot of that was actually what, Central City, right? Like Black Hawk and Central City, I guess, are separate.
Central City was they're separate. They're very close to each other. It's probably only a mile or so between them, but they are separate towns. I was just in Black Hawk the first night. Oh, okay. All the pictures were from Black Hawk. Yeah, I was in Central City itself in the casinos until Friday night, so a couple nights later. But yeah, I sent you some pictures of, like, you know, the Sasquatch Casino with, like, the big Sasquatch inside. You know, in one of the Bally's casinos, there's the jail, and you can play slot machines in the jail in the Bally's Casino. Those are the very small Bally's Casino. There's three.
I really appreciated the casino carpet inside the jail. Something yeah. about that felt really off. Quick question. Mm-hmm. Comped room at Horseshoe?
Yes, yes. Oh, nice. Comped room. I think anyone can get comps basically anytime there, as far as I can tell. It seems like they're not hard up for room inventory in Black Hawk. There's a lot of rooms and not that many people come in to visit. But yeah, that's basically all I did. I did not gamble all that much on Wednesday night. I was pretty tired from the flight and everything. I went and played some craps at Horseshoe. That was my biggest gambling session and lost $300 basically immediately. So
sounds like craps.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Why I don't play table games.
So, yeah, I was happy I could walk around the town. Like I said, I wanted to do some hiking, and it just didn't end up working out, but it was fine.
Absolutely loved the pictures, by the way. I posted some of them on the Twitter account. And, yeah, I mean, you were right. You said that it seemed like a place I would really love, and it just looked awesome.
Yeah, because there's so much weird hokey stuff that you just absolutely eat up there.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like Wild Wild West Casino back in the day, but, like, real.
Right, pretty much. I mean, and the town is still a bit like Wild Wild West town, I think, because it's isolated. There's not a whole lot going on there. We'll get to the next few days. There's no like grocery stores or anything in town, or like chain restaurants or anything like that. So
why would you want a grocery store?
Yeah, don't need that. Anyway, so I went to bed and woke up the next morning and had breakfast again at the Bean and Cream, the coffee shop in town, which was also excellent. It was some sort of a green chili breakfast burrito and was absolutely fantastic. Always try to get green chili when I'm out in the Mountain West. And then I went on, drove through Idaho Springs because that is the closest big town that has a grocery store. So I went to the Safeway, bought some stuff, like some waters and some snacks for the room. And then I went and hiked up basically St. Mary's Glacier, which was about 45 minutes away from town, but it was very nice. There's tons of snow and it was a fun trip. The hike was pretty easy, honestly. It was easier than I was anticipating because I guess by the time you're in the parking lot, you're pretty much there. But it was a good kind of warm up. And let me tell you, just being at 8,000 feet or whatever Blackhawk's at, coming from sea level, it is like quite a big shock to the system. So I appreciated it wasn't too hard.
How long was the hike, like time-wise?
It wasn't too long for me to go up to the lake and back. Was only like an hour or something like that. Yeah. It was short, like I said.
Easy.
It was an easy hike. Yeah. And it was beautiful. So came back. I had lunch in the Dash Cafe in the Horseshoe. I had a bacon cheeseburger and onion rings, which was very good.
How is the dining in the casinos? Is it very like generic coffee shop, generic restaurant, cafe?
Usually there's Starbucks in most of the casinos, but it's like generic restaurants. Yeah, for the most part.
Did you drink a lot of iced tea?
I had so much iced tea, man, let me tell you, because they had the fountains out, so you could use them yourself. A lot of iced tea, a lot of hot tea, because you could make your own. Didn't need to wait for the people. Yeah, beyond that, I think when I got back, I played maybe a little bit of Video Hooker and then just chilled in the room for a while and relaxed. And we had a meetup that night in the Ameristar, which was the only casino, I think, the night before that I didn't go to in town because it was across the big highway or whatever that goes through the middle of town. It's like the only one on the other side of the road. And I knew I was going Thursday night to meet up with people. So, yeah, met up with tons of people. Thomas, who put everything together, and Mark and Dr. Mike, Eric Rosenthal, and just a bunch more people. Melanie, famous from Culinary, you can bet on that. So we played some craps for a little bit. I mean, at least I played craps for a little bit because it went absolutely awful. And I lost, you know, $500 pretty much immediately, I think.
Craps in Blackhawk is cursed, confirmed.
Yeah, pretty much. So then anyway, I ate dinner in the Ameristar and I played some video poker for a while. Ate dinner at the Jinya Ramen Bar there, which was pretty decent. It had some sort of Tokyo curry.
Is that the place where you said when you sign up for a player's card, they give you a free ramen?
No, that's tomorrow. That's tomorrow. No free ramen at the Ameristar. Okay. Ameristar is too fancy. They don't have to do that. I think Ameristar is, by the way, probably the nicest casino in town. Or the Monarch is the other one that's very nice. They're a bit more like legitimate casinos. Everywhere else was like kind of a bit smaller, not nearly as nice as those two, I think.
Did you like the niceness of these casinos or did you prefer being in, you know, the Sasquatch?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough question. Ameristar was legitimately very nice. It's Boyd. So if you have Boyd comps, by the way, maybe you can end up there. Yeah, it's just a different experience. I mean, it's a bit more of what you're used to. I think it's like more Las Vegas style or whatever. And I'll get a Monarch the next day where I ate at the buffet, but it was a very Vegas style buffet, I think. So anyway, at the ramen bar, I ended up going back after a couple hours of playing video poker and stuff on my own because craps went very bad. And I played for quite a few hours that night at the Horseshoe, like first Athena Medusa slots, which went very well for me. I don't know. I don't have much more to say. It just was going well, and I just kept playing, and it kept on going well.
Are those the slots where it's sort of like Kronos and Zeus and stuff, where it's like you get the bonus, and it's... I don't even know how to describe it without sounding like an insane person. You know, every time a symbol comes up, you get an extra spin.
Yes.
And it's like you need all the symbols to connect.
Yep. You need all the symbols to connect, and then you get your lines or whatever. And, like, so you get some bonuses, like, oh, if you fill out this spot in it, you'll just get, like, $5 or whatever. And, you know, sometimes it'll give you some free rows and things like that.
Right,
but
yeah. I've watched a lot of Kronos.
Was it fun? I don't know. But I won a lot of money, so yeah. That made it fun.
Makes
I guess.
Fun.
Not a lot of money, a couple $100.
That's a lot.
And then there was, like, I was going to go to bed, and I walked by a Buffalo Ascension machine, which is, like, for those who don't know, it's like Hexbreaker, where the lines keep going up, and at some point it becomes plus EV. And, like, this machine was reasonably plus EV, and I was like, all right, fine, I'll play this real quick. I just kept putting money in. So the way it works is that there's small bonuses usually on the two sides. So there's five rows. Row 1 and row 5 do not grow. Row 2 and 4 grow and usually have, like, a small bonus if you reach the top. And then row 3 has a monster bonus if you reach the top. And so it was, like, you know, reasonably plus EV, and I'm like, I'll play this for a little bit. I ended up hitting the small bonuses a bunch. You know, hitting the small bonus is, like, nothing special, and I was down, honestly, like, a couple $100, and I'm like, this is just stupid, but it kept being worth it to play because you'd only hit one bonus at a time, and you'd still be over the number of lines you should be over if you want to play. In, like, a plus EV fashion. And then eventually, finally, everything was at the top, and I hit the big bonus in the middle and ended up getting $1,125. I think I had 375 lines of buffaloes with that bonus.
That's a lot.
Which is a lot of buffaloes. So I won $1,125.
What denomination were you playing?
Just a dollar. It's the minimum.
Per spin, what is that then?
A dollar.
Oh, okay. It is a dollar.
So, yeah, there's, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are the denominations at the Buffalo Ascension machine, at least there. And $1, but it's, like, all the lines. Your only choices are $1, $2, $3, $4, $5.
Interesting. Okay.
So, anyway, it was very aggravating because I was in for over 300 at that machine, which I was not planning to be in for over 300. But it just kept being good to keep playing. And, you know, like I said, I reset some of the side bonuses a few times, but, you know, the other two were still at the top, so it was still worth it. And then, yeah, like I said, I hit the big one when the two sides were still pretty high. And... ended up getting $1,125.
That's awesome.
Which is good, because it's not a hand pay either, which is just absolutely perfect.
Did you text me about that, or did you save this for a surprise? Because I don't think I heard about the big hit. I think I only heard complaints.
I texted you about it.
Oh, I might have been asleep.
There's literally a picture that you have of
I was probably, my phone was
You were asleep then, because it was like midnight, Mountain West time. So.
Interesting, yeah. I'll have to look at it.
Yeah, and then basically you have to go get cashed out in person if you have over $1,200 on a slot ticket. So I was like, had to basically gamble down until I was back under $1,200. And then I cashed out like $1,198 or something like that. So I could go to a machine and not have to deal with people.
So at what point, though, were you playing the video poker that was 9-6 but not actually full pay because the Royal didn't pay $4,000?
Yeah, that was at Ameristar. That was something that I wasn't really paying attention.
I wouldn't have noticed, I don't think.
Playing at Lady Luck either. But I'm like, 9-6 jacks are better. This is great. And then I saw that it's 2,500 for a Royal instead of 4,000. It's like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, on max bet, right? So
right. Yeah, there was no bonus for max bet. It was just 500, 1,000, 15, 2,000, 2,500. And usually it's like, I don't know, 200, 400, 600, 800, 4,000 or something like that.
Right, yeah. So you might as well play a dollar.
Right.
One. Yep. Whatever, 1x.
Yep.
But that's really weird. I've
never
seen that.
Yeah,
before.
That was at the Ameristar. So anyway, I finally got to go to bed after finally getting up from Buffalo Ascension. Just hating life. You know, at the end, I was just like hitting the button over and over again, just like spin, stop, spin, stop, spin, stop. I clearly had enough, and it was the first time ever that it ended up working out when someone's in that mood at a slot machine.
Oh, yeah, so. No. Usually you're just getting like more and more frustrated, and then you wake up the next day like hating life, hating gambling. You're like, why did I keep playing? I should have just gone to bed.
Yeah, that's how I felt. But if it's plus EV, it's plus EV. There's nothing you can do. You had to do it.
You have to keep playing. You can't.
You have to. Plus EV, man.
I hate those machines. I hate all those supposedly plus EV machines.
So anyway, the next morning I woke up, and my original plan was I was going to go hiking again in the morning, but I just decided, like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go to the morning meetup at the Monarch and see people. Played craps for quite a while with Mark and Dr. Mike and Eric, and Tim Lawson ended up showing up kind of halfway through the session. He finally got in on his flight.
From the better life?
Yeah, from the better life. So funnily enough, the first $300 I cashed in, me and Dr. Mike were the only two at the table. Mark was looking for food. I think he was looking for a donut on National Donut Day and being very disgruntled that he couldn't find one. So me and Dr. Mike played, and like literally it was 5 minutes and I was out $300. I think me and him both just did a couple times, 0.7 out. which is not the way you want to do it. So I think at that point I'd played like 15 or 20 minutes of craps and was down like $1,000 for the trip. But luckily, you know, I only put another $200 on the table, and that lasted a couple hours before I finally ran out, because we had a couple good rolls and things were going for a while. And this is something with craps. I think it was John B. that came to the table, and he ended up rolling just like an absolute mountain load of fives and nines, just like a humongous number, and everyone's getting rich around the table. And I never bet five and nine. Like, I just never bet five and nine. So I was getting absolutely nothing. Very sad, but that's how it goes when you don't bet the five and nine, I guess. At that point, I think people were breaking up because they were all going to go to Idaho Springs to go to lunch at a brewery. I had already been to Idaho Springs, so I didn't need to do that. And I was going to go hiking in the afternoon instead, just in town. So when I signed up for the Monarch Players card, they gave me a free buffet. So I was like, sure, I'll go get my free buffet. Why not? And like I said, it was pretty decent. It was very Vegas style. There was tons of stations, just tons. There was the Asian station, the Italian station, and the meat carving station, and the very, very Vegas style, I'd say.
The nice thing about getting a free buffet is that you don't feel the need to get your money's worth.
Oh, no, I still felt the need.
Okay.
I ate way too much.
How was it?
It was good.
Tasty?
It was tasty. Anyway, they all went to Idaho Springs, and I decided to go back to Maryland Mountain, which is just the local mountain in town. It's called Maryland Mountain, so I felt like I had to hike up to the top, and I hiked up to the top. And it was looking like it was going to thunderstorm for a little bit, which was a bit nerve-wracking on the mountain, but it blew through and all was well. And yeah, I did that for a couple hours. That was a longer hike than the first day, for sure.
That was the one you tried to do, but there was the bike race the first time?
Yeah, that was the one that I tried to do Wednesday night, but there was a bike race. So I did that, and then I went back, and I think I called the family. You know, it took a few hours for me to do that hike, and then it was 5 or 6, and just ended up popping in the shower after I talked to my family and ran down to Central City and walked around a bit, and then we did a meetup there. Before the meetup started, which was supposed to be at 7:30, I think, I ended up eating dinner with Thomas, who put everything together, and his girlfriend and one of their friends at the ramen bar that was in Central City, that they give you the free bowl of ramen for signing up for the Players Club at Dragon Tiger.
Excellent bonus.
It was actually very good. Yeah. It was a good bowl of ramen, honestly. I thought I had very, very low expectations, but it was very passable. I think ramen's a hard thing to make it absolutely inedible. It's very easy to make passable ramen.
I'm not a ramen fan, so I'll defer to your knowledge on that.
What's not? It's like noodles and meat and...
Too liquidy.
Broth? Do you just not like soup?
I'm not a big soup fan.
Okay. That's weird, but sure. So anyway, we ended up playing at the $10 Baccarat squeeze game table for quite a while. I was probably there for 3 hours. I'm sure there were people there much later than me because I wanted to get back at like 10 because I had an early morning flight the next morning to go home. I was up a couple $100 of Baccarat, and then I went back. And so Mark and Dr. Mike were not at the Dragon Tiger, so I was hoping I could catch them at Horseshoe where they were staying at the craps table, but they were also not there. But, you know, I was like, I may as well just play a little bit more craps before I leave. So there was just one guy at the table by himself, and so I cashed in, and he had an absolutely enormous roll. And at the end of his roll, Tim Lawson had showed up, who also had had a very long day and wanted to get back to his casino. So he ended up cashing in, and then I had an absolutely monster roll. And then the dice moved to Tim, and he had absolutely monster roll. And then I was like, okay, I'm cashing out. So I was up basically $1,200 in three rolls of craps.
The true duality of craps.
I know. We all hit like 3 or 4 points at least and just tons of numbers, and it was good. Literally, I was there for three rolls and more than made up all my losses.
Amazing.
From earlier in the trip in craps. So
fantastic.
Then I went to bed and woke up early the next morning, drove back to Denver and gassed up and dropped off my rental car and went and sat in the Capital One Lounge, my final Capital One Lounge. I have achieved them all now. Denver, Dallas, and Dulles.
All
the 3Ds, I guess. Yeah. By the way, it's a great lounge. I highly recommend it if you have a Capital One Venture X or whatever. And just flew home, also on Frontier, and got picked up at BWI at 5 o'clock by my family.
You had a fun little Frontier experience of getting...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it looked like it was a pretty empty plane. It wasn't that empty, but yeah, they seated me in a middle seat in like the back of the plane. And I was like, all right, you win Frontier. So I spent the $35 or whatever and just chose an aisle seat much farther up the plane. So
awesome.
Yeah, they got me. But like I texted to you, game respect game, I respect them. I'm an easy mark, apparently. You put me in the middle in the back, and I'm just like, all right, fine, you win.
I would have just sat in the middle in the back.
Yeah.
So, some questions for you about this trip.
Well, I have some questions for you first before we get to your questions.
Okay, go for it.
So, a couple times, Atlantic City came up, and I want to know how you would have reacted to both of these. There's two that I can remember. One was a dealer who had been there like 10 years ago, and he's like, yeah, it was like pretty fun. It seemed a little bit menacing, I guess, but like, how is it now or whatever? And, well, I'm curious to what you would say about that. So he'd been to Atlantic City 10 years ago. Like, how would you say it is now?
I know the narrative is like, oh, it's gone so downhill. It's so much more dangerous. I don't feel that so much. I do agree that the boardwalk feels slightly more menacing than it did 10 years ago. But having done a bunch of non-casino stuff and traveled off the boardwalk a bunch, like, I think there's this idea that, like, as soon as you set foot off the boardwalk, you're going to get robbed and stabbed. And that's just absolutely not the case.
Right.
So I think there's, like, more good stuff than there was 10 years ago. But I also agree that it does feel a little bit like if you're in the main part and you're never leaving the boardwalk, that definitely doesn't feel as nice as it did 10 years ago.
So my response is, I said that it had gone downhill in the last 10 years. And I think what you were saying is very accurate, like, in terms of truthfulness. I do think there's a lot more stuff to do off the boardwalk than there was 10 years ago. But for the average person, what's their experience with Atlantic City? It's going on a walk to the boardwalk to another casino, right?
It's a weird combination of, like, I agree to some extent. Like, I'm not going to just say, like, you're crazy. Like, New York City, people are like, New York City is, like, an absolute cesspool. It's like, it's the same. It's the same it's always been. It's not the 80s. Like, it's totally fine.
Frankly, it's the safest big city in America by, like, a huge margin.
An incredibly safe city.
Right.
So I wouldn't say like that about Atlantic City of like it's exactly the same as it's always been. But I also I have more fun in Atlantic City now than I did 10 years ago because I'm doing more stuff that's outside of the casinos. So,
yeah.
And there is more to do outside of the casinos.
I don't disagree with you. I think if I was going to be willing to give like a 5-minute spiel, which perhaps I should have been willing to do, I could have gone into detail. But I think for most people, if your experience is going to be on the boardwalk, it is unquestionably worse than it was 10 years ago, I think.
And most people don't want a 5-minute spiel, in my experience.
And then, oh, so the other thing that came up, and you can be, again, disappointed in my marketing for our podcast, but it was someone who's like, you know, I've never been to Atlantic City. Should I go?
Where they come from?
The middle of the country, more or less. Like somewhere where Vegas is probably just much easier to get to than...
I'm always so reluctant to say, like, you got to go way out of your way to go to Atlantic City. Part of that is not wanting to feel responsible for someone else's bad time if they do have a bad time. Like the risk of saying like, yeah, you got to go. And then them coming back to you 6 months later and be like, I went to AC and it absolutely sucked. Like, what are you talking about? Is high.
Thanks for making me fly into Philadelphia, get a 2-hour whatever bus ride or something, or like a $200 Uber. And
I think what I would say is like pair it up with a Philadelphia or New York City trip. But at the same time, you know, people like Justin W. is coming from Minnesota, loves it. Matt Bridger came from England, from UK, flew in, loved Atlantic City, even though he's completely a Vegas guy. So I think people who like to gamble like Atlantic City. I think that's a big part of it. Like if you like gambling, that is the focus of Atlantic City and you're going to have a good time because there's a ton of casinos and a ton of tables and it's easy to go from casino to casino and stuff like that. And so if it's all new to you, it will be exciting and fun. But yeah, I am with you. I am very reluctant to recommend it to people who are coming from farther away than they would have to go to Vegas.
I think my answer was maybe, or it's like somewhere you should see once maybe, but it's hard for me to give a full-throated enthusiastic, you need to go.
I will say though, if this is a person who's making their way to Blackhawk, right, they'll probably like it.
right, I agree. I think it was, at least I know I had this conversation, I don't know if it was Thomas I was exactly replying to, but it's someone who's like obviously deeply in the gambling ecosystem or whatever, and like, yeah, you should go. You need to go once probably, and then you can decide for yourself.
Right, like if you're someone who's listening to multiple gambling and casino podcasts, and you're going to Biloxi for me meetups and Blackhawk and you've gone to all these, like, you have to check Atlantic City off the list. It's like number two behind Vegas, I think, still, even though, you know, it's a huge gulf between the two. But I think you've got to go just to say you did it.
I'll say quickly, just in response to you saying Atlantic City is good for gamblers, my experience at Blackhawk made me realize that, like, is it good for gamblers really? Because like, the problem with Atlantic City is it's kind of expensive now. It's cheap compared to the Vegas Strip, but since COVID, I feel like the limits have gone up quite a bit compared to Blackhawk, where we're playing $10 squeeze baccarat, which is just incredible. I think if you're just a gambler, you can get much better value in other places in the country, like Blackhawk as an example, or like downtown, or you know, wherever.
The Strip is obviously way worse than AC.
Yeah, the Strip is much worse.
But then you get places like, you know, Biloxi and Blackhawk and Reno, where there is a lot of casino competition. You're going to get really good limits. But then you get something like, you know, MGM National Harbor or Horseshoe, Baltimore,
right,
where there's not a ton of local competition and it's really bad. For a lot of people, AC is actually probably better than like their local casino. it's better than the Strip. But then, right. you know, as far as, yeah, certainly like Black Hawk, Downtown, Reno, Biloxi, Deadwood, Shreveport, like all these places are going to have better gambling probably than Atlantic City. And I do. I definitely agree. Like the limits have gotten so high in AC, even at the lower end properties. And it's a huge part of why I basically never play table games is like the risk is so high. Like if it was $5 craps or $10 craps, it's one thing, but.
Yeah, it's like $10 craps basically everywhere. In
Black but Hawk. Now it's like 50. If you see a $15 table in Atlantic City, it's like, ooh, wow, okay, 15, that's low. It's pretty much $25 blackjack everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I remember when I first started going, like 15, you could get $15 blackjack on a Saturday night, right, at Bally's. Yep. Like it wasn't hard to find at all.
I mean, you could probably honestly get a $10 blackjack. Like, usually they'd have one $10 table open. That was, of course, full to the top, so you couldn't get on it. But, like, I know a lot of casinos had one cheap table at most of their table games, so they could advertise that they always have a $5 or a $10 table open. Like, Wild West always would have a $5 table open, even if you couldn't actually get on it.
Yeah, so that's definitely changed. I agree with that.
So, I don't know how great it is for gamblers. I think a lot of the difference is that, honestly, the way New Jersey does stuff, where there's very strict rules for, like, who can open these casinos compared to a place like Black Hawk, where there's these casinos that are just very small boxes just of some slot machines or whatever. Having smaller competition will help push down some of the profit margins for the bigger properties, which is why, in a place that big interest groups own a lot of stuff, they don't want that, obviously.
I think we talked about this way back at the start of the podcast, but that's also a huge part of why AC will never be like Vegas of the East, right? Is because there's so much control over who can get a casino. Right. There's never going to be just
Going to be a small casino in AC, right? By law.
There's not going to be 20 casinos on the boardwalk because you can't have just like a little casino.
But like, how incredible would that be if some of the arcades just changed into like small casinos or whatever on the boardwalk? That'd be great.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. Absolutely. Agree completely.
But that's so far in for New Jersey. Like, that would just never happen.
Right.
All right. You have some questions for me?
Yes. You mentioned the question of Atlantic City for someone who's going way out of their way. What about Black Hawk? Like, if someone is coming from the East Coast, say, you know, northern, central New Jersey, is it worth the flight and the expense as a destination to go for, like, a casino trip?
So it depends on who you are, right? For someone like me, what I was thinking when I was in Black Hawk is, like, why in the world would I ever go to the Vegas Strip again? Black Hawk is just better in every way. It's, like, an hour and a half shorter flight to Denver than to Vegas. What do I want to do in my off time is, like, go hiking in the woods, right? There's just tons of that around there. But I think it just depends on what you want to do. If you're not really interested in the outdoors at all, there's not going to be that much to do beyond gambling there. Honestly, if you're not going to go hiking, that is really the only thing that's around. So it just depends on what you want to do.
You said there's a nice coffee shop.
There's a nice coffee shop.
Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other option I thought about was adding it on to a Denver trip or somewhere else in Colorado.
Yeah, you could do that.
Making it like a one night or something excursion as part of a Denver trip.
I've still never really been. I had driven through Denver once before this. And, you know, again, I drove through Denver to get to Black Hawk, but I've never really been to Denver proper. So, and I have not stopped in the city, really. Stopped at a gas station to fill up my rental car on the way back to the Hertz. But
so you've pretty much answered this, I think, loud and clear. But has this trip sort of inspired you to prioritize other non-Vegas, non-AC gambling areas? You even mentioned Deadwood, South Dakota. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Shreveport, Reno, Tahoe, Biloxi, even Connecticut casinos.
For sure. I mean, like I said, for Black Hawk, I thought it was just absolutely awesome. Reno, Tahoe, I feel like is going to be very, very similar to Black Hawk in a lot of ways if you go there.
Yeah.
Biloxi I went to, but it was 2007. It was like a very depressing place, to be honest. It was right after Katrina, so I didn't really... I should go back and get a better view of it because it was a bad situation when I was there, honestly. Yeah, somewhere that you know I've been dying to go to is, like, I absolutely need to go to Paris Cherokee.
Yeah.
I'd love to do that in Asheville together. Asheville without an N. No N Asheville.
So last question, has it inspired you to do other meetups? Like, are you going to eagerly try to go to the Biloxi meetup? You know, there's 360 Vegas Vacation, although you've said you're throwing Vegas into the ocean.
Yep, Vegas is going in the ocean.
Zorkfest is also in Vegas. But...
I don't know. Maybe. I think this kind of meetup was perfect. do I want to go somewhere to, like, buy a $250 ticket and sit in some auditorium or something? Not really. That doesn't sound that interesting to me. But, you know, just a meetup of people getting together to do things they love and go to a few restaurants and do some gambling. That's a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, something like the Biloxi meetup. Yeah, that's interesting to me.
Yeah, that's all my questions. It sounded like an awesome trip. Just seeing the pictures and, like, seeing everything that you did, it's like, this sounds amazing, but
yeah,
when am I going to get that opportunity?
You just gotta make it, man.
Yeah,
gotta make it. I mean, like, just like, you know, sure. When are we gonna go to AC, man?
Never. We're done. AC's over.
Yeah. All right. No, but it was an absolutely wonderful trip. Thank you to everyone who helped make it happen and everyone that I met out there. Just before we sign off, we have one more mailbag question. So Krista via email asks, staying at resorts and paying resort fees, of course, but they now also charge $40 for check-in before 2 p.m. and $45 per night extra for the ocean view. How can they get away with that?
Totally standard stuff, I think. Well, certainly the extra for the ocean view is just a standard upgrade fee. You're going to find that pretty much anywhere. The Caesars properties, Tropicana, Harrah's, and Caesars charge, I think, 30?
30 before 3 p.m.?
Yeah, if you want to check in before 3 p.m.
Yeah.
I agree. I find the early check-in stuff very annoying. I understand why they do it, because it's a very easy way to get some extra dollars, but it also creates more of like a check-in time rush hour because nobody wants to pay the early check-in fee. So I feel like...
Is that a pro or a con, though, Craig, from their perspective?
It's got to be a con. I mean,
I think it's a con, too.
The benefit to the hotel of letting you in if you're there and the room is ready is that you then don't have a huge line at check-in time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, treating it like it's only a benefit for the patron seems...
But if people are pissed off and don't want to deal with the line, they can just pay their $40 or $30 or whatever.
True. I have done it. I did. I think when I went with my wife, we did pay the early check-in fee because it was just like... You know what? It's worth it to be in the hotel, in the room, whatever it was at that point, like 4 hours earlier, and just be able to throw our stuff in the in the room.
Yeah, there you go.
But
you're helping perpetuate it, just like me on the frontier.
That's true.
Putting me in the middle seat every time. Yeah.
I guess the positive spin to look at it as a consumer is like you get to choose.
Right. I think that it's important to say it's a huge difference between this stuff or like there's a ton of people that just like absolutely will not fly Spirit or Frontier because they find them a bit predatory in some way. Like I think it's completely different, like these charges for resorts and flying Spirit and Frontier, where like you have a choice about whether or not you pay for these things. And I think that is just good for consumers, period. Resort fees are just bad for consumers because you don't have any choice in it. And I think they're very bad. And if they end up going away soon, which there's been rumblings that there may be a rule made that they will have to go away, I think that'll be very good. So I see a big difference between resort fees and like, you know, charging $40 for check-in before 2 and $45, you know, for the ocean view.
Are you grouping Spirit and Frontier in with the resort fees or the check-in?
With the check-in fees.
Right. I agree. Like, obviously, you know, the Spirit and Frontier get dinged a lot for the service and stuff, but it was funny, like, flying Spirit back from Vegas and sort of being like, oh, I get to pick and choose what's important to me. Like, this is oddly empowering in a weird way. I can just cram everything into a backpack if I want.
Mm.
I'm flying solo. I can just not choose my seat, which I don't care about. So, like, okay, that saves me a bunch of money. Yeah, it was weird how that ended up working out. Like, I was oddly positive about my Spirit experience.
Yeah. I mean, I've flown Spirit and Frontier several times, and I personally enjoy flying them. It seems like they're going to become less like what they are and more like the legacy carriers a bit. Like, they both just announced big changes, and it makes me a bit sad, but I think they're good. And you know, if resorts wants to charge $40 for people to check in before 2, I think that's good. I think resort fees are absolute bullshit though, and they need to go away. The important part of the equation is the fact that you can choose.
Yeah, I mean, it is annoying that it used to be, and at most hotels, you just walk up and if the room's ready, you get it, right? So that's the difference.
Right. I understand. But again, you have a choice. You can wait if you need to or if you really need to get in. It's fine. I mean, like, would it be nice if they let people in normally? Yeah, it would. But I don't begrudge them this as much as I begrudge everyone having a $40 resort fee.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I certainly don't like it. I would rather just be able to get into my room. But yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening.
To two episodes.
Two episodes that will seem normal to you, but us, we put them together back to back. If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doforawin. Find all of our great content and buy a version 2.0 shirt at doforawin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at doforawin or me at Kyle Laskin and send Craig questions to doforawin@gmail.com. And we will answer them on air in a month when we record the next episode.
Our inbox is empty.
Yeah.
I have one last question in my line of, has your Black Hawk trip inspired you to do something?
Okay.
Has it inspired you to set up a huge meetup in Atlantic City of all the podcasters?
I did think about that out there. It's tough, right? Like, insofar as Atlantic City is a place that, you know, I think we both really enjoy and, like, we want to share that enjoyment with other people, like, it's very tempting. And I think we could do a good job of putting together a trip that would be fun for a lot of people. And then, like, you know, on the other side, it's like how little I want to actually do that work and, like, actually have to go to, like, all of the parts of the meetup or whatever. You know, a big key for this is I got to skip the parts I wasn't really into and do other stuff by myself and, like, not be, like, too over-socialized.
And this is why it'll never happen, because you have that side of it. You don't want to do the planning and you don't want to go to everything.
The planning would be okay. It's just like, I don't want to go to everything.
I don't mind the planning and the going to everything, but the response could be 99.9% positive. But if there's like the one asshole who's like, oh, why didn't you do this? I would be like totally crushed.
That's foolish.
That's how I live my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. It is something that I've played around with when I was out there, and you never know what could happen. I think it would be good, especially, you know, since there are a bunch of people that I met that have not been to Atlantic City. I think it is a place worth seeing. Obviously, we do a podcast about it, so. Anyway, we will talk to you guys in a couple weeks, your guys' time. Yeah, slightly more than that for our time. But thank you so much, as always, for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
I did not have two almost hour-long episodes on my bingo card.
Yeah, well, we did it.